Nomoto presents pioneers of psychology and psychiatry. Alfred Adler, The Striving for Superiority. Narrated with Microsoft Azure using the Ava voice. Running time, approximately 13 minutes. Alfred Adler's story begins with a sickly little boy on the outskirts of Vienna, a boy often left sitting on the sidelines while his older brother ran and played. This boy, born in 1870 as the second of seven children, would watch with envy as his stronger sibling bounded about. Frail from rickets and bouts of illness, he keenly felt what it was to be weak and helpless. At only 4 years old, Alfred nearly died of pneumonia. He even overheard a doctor tell his father there was no hope for him. The child was terrified, but then a remarkable thing happened. Alfred survived, and in the wake of that brush with death, he made a bold decision. He would become a doctor one day, so that he could have a better defense against the danger of death. This determination to overcome weakness and fear would become a theme of his life's work. That boy, of course, was Alfred Adler, who would grow up to be one of the great figures in psychology, a founder of individual psychology, pioneer of the idea of the inferiority complex, and champion of the importance of community and purpose in mental health. Adler is often considered one of the three great fathers of modern psychotherapy, alongside Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung. Yet today his name is less familiar than theirs. In a sense, Adler has been the quiet influencer. His ideas have seeped into everyday language and self-help culture. Think of terms like inferiority complex or the emphasis on positive thinking and belonging, even if many people don't realize where these ideas came from. His psychology, and indeed his life, was all about cultivating consciousness, awareness of meaning in life, of our choices, of our connectedness to others, and of our power to overcome the limitations of birth or environment to reach our full potential. In this episode, we'll explore Adler's journey from a sickly child to a renowned psychologist, his break with Freud, the unique theory he developed, and how his insights on purpose, inferiority, and community still resonate today. Adler was born in a Vienna suburb in 1870 to a middle-class Jewish family. Childhood was not easy. Beyond his health struggles, he felt overshadowed by his older brother Sigmund. A coincidence in name, but perhaps a foreshadowing of another Sigmund he'd later contend with. Alfred later admitted that as a child, he could never quite match his older brother's accomplishments, a rivalry that left him sighing even in adulthood. "My eldest brother, he was always ahead of me. He is still ahead of me." Sibling competition lit a fire in Alfred, instilling an acute awareness of what he lacked. These early experiences, feeling physically weak, perceiving himself as less than, planted seeds for his later concept of the feelings of inferiority that all of us experienced to some degree in childhood. Tragedy struck the Adler family when Alfred was just a toddler. One night, his younger brother Rudolph, who shared little Alfred's bedroom, died suddenly of diphtheria. Imagine the shock for the three-year-old Alfred waking up to find his baby brother gone. Shortly after came Alfred's own near-fatal pneumonia. Death and vulnerability were not abstract ideas to this child. They were seared into his awareness. It's no wonder Adler would be so concerned with how humans cope with feelings of vulnerability and strive for strength and wholeness. Despite hardships, Adler's childhood wasn't all gloom. His family moved to the country for a time, where he enjoyed the outdoors and developed a love of music from Vienna's cultural atmosphere. His family's fortune swung between comfortable and near poverty. He played with children from various social classes, Jewish neighbors, Christian working-class kids, giving him early insight into social inequality. Adler later said that seeing these differences sparked his emphasis on social interest, the idea that a healthy person feels responsible for others and contributes to the common good. Adler's resolve to become a physician never wavered. He wasn't the best student at first. Math was his worst subject, until one day, he surprised everyone by solving a tricky problem that stumped the class genius. The laughter of classmates turned to astonishment. This little victory mirrored a pattern he'd later describe in Human Life, how encouragement and self-belief can turn inferiority into growth. Adler entered the University of Vienna's medical program and earned his MD in 1895. He started in ophthalmology, but soon switched to general practice, setting up a clinic in a working-class district across from Vienna's Prater Amusement Park. There he treated everyone from laborers to circus performers. Adler noticed how those with physical weaknesses often compensated by developing extraordinary skills elsewhere, a phenomenon he called organ inferiority and compensation. For instance, someone born with weak lungs might push themselves to excel in running, or a person with poor eyesight might cultivate exceptional memory. This notion, that striving to overcome limitations can define personality, became central to his theory. In 1902, Adler joined Freud's Wednesday discussion group after defending the interpretation of dreams in print. Though initially part of Freud's inner circle, Adler soon began to challenge the master. While Freud saw sexual drives as the root of behavior, Adler proposed aggression and striving for mastery as equally fundamental forces. He also emphasized conscious goals over unconscious determinism. Where Freud looked backward to childhood trauma, Adler looked forward. What purpose does a person's behavior serve? By 1911, the rift was irreparable. Adler and several colleagues resigned from Freud's Psychoanalytic Society, forming their own Society for Individual Psychology, the first major schism in psychoanalysis. Adler's approach focused on the individual as an indivisible whole, embedded in social life. He saw people as creative beings who construct meaning and choose goals, rather than as victims of repressed drives. Adler's Individual Psychology introduced several key ideas: inferiority feelings and compensation, striving for superiority, social interest, lifestyle, and fictional finalism. Every human being, he said, starts life with a sense of inferiority. Babies are helpless and dependent. These early feelings become the engine of development. We strive to overcome them. But if a person becomes overwhelmed by inferiority, they develop an inferiority complex, discouragement, avoidance, low self-worth. Conversely, overcompensation can produce a superiority complex, arrogance, domination, false confidence. Both extremes are unhealthy. The healthy path lies in realistic striving for self-improvement combined with social concern. The idea of striving for superiority, better understood as striving for perfection or completion, was Adler's optimistic take on the human condition. It means to become the best version of oneself, not to lord over others. Another cornerstone is social interest, Gemeinschaftsgefühl, our innate capacity for empathy and cooperation. Adler argued that mental health depends on a sense of belonging and contribution to society. People who lack social interest become isolated, hostile, or self-absorbed. For Adler, community feeling was not just moral but biological. Humanity survives through cooperation. Adler also described lifestyle, a person's unique style of striving, formed in early childhood. By age 5 or 6, a child has already decided unconsciously how to approach life's challenges. Birth order, family atmosphere, and early memories all contribute, but what matters most is the child's creative interpretation of these experiences. Two siblings in the same family may craft entirely different life stories. Adler thus emphasized free will. We're shaped by circumstances, but we interpret and respond creatively to them. In therapy, Adler's method was practical and egalitarian. He met patients face-to-face, favoring dialogue and encouragement over analysis of repressed content. He saw symptoms as purposeful, expressions of a mistaken life goal or belief. Therapy meant uncovering those goals and helping the client adopt more useful, socially oriented ones. Encouragement was central. A misbehaving child, he said, is a discouraged child. The therapist's role was to restore courage. Adler applied his ideas broadly, in schools, families, and communities. He founded child guidance clinics in Vienna in the 1920s, bringing teachers and parents into the process. His talks emphasized equality, mutual respect, and democratic family relations. He opposed both pampering and harshness, urging parents to foster independence and cooperation. Politically and socially, Adler was progressive. He advocated women's equality and rejected patriarchal dominance, calling it a cultural, not biological, construct. He urged shared power in marriage and partnership. He also connected mental health to social justice, arguing that poverty and inequality breed neurosis and crime by destroying belonging. By the 1920s, Adler was an international celebrity, admired for his warmth and clarity. His lectures in America drew crowds. His students spread his approach worldwide. He eventually emigrated to the U.S., joining Columbia University and later Long Island College of Medicine. In 1937, while on a lecture tour in Scotland, Adler collapsed and died of a heart attack at 67, still mid-journey, teaching until his last breath. Though Freud and Jung became household names, Adler's influence quietly permeated psychology. Cognitive behavioral therapy echoes his idea that beliefs shape feelings and behavior. Humanistic psychology, Rogers, Maslow, inherits his optimism about growth and belonging. Positive psychologies focus on strengths and purpose traces to his insistence on encouragement and contribution. Even modern coaching borrows his as-if technique. Act as if you are the person you wish to become, and you'll grow into it. Adler's insights anticipated community psychiatry and social work, connecting health to social environment decades before social determinants of health became standard vocabulary. After World War I, he warned that only empathy and cooperation could save humankind from destruction, a message that remains hauntingly relevant. He wrote that humanity was like a child with a loaded pistol, needing emotional maturity to survive its own power. His solution was education in social feeling, learning to care for one another as equals. Today, Adler's legacy lives on through Adler University in Chicago and the Journal of Individual Psychology. His spirit persists wherever someone asks, "What is your goal? Could there be another way to see this? How might your actions contribute to others?" Adler reminds us that inferiority is universal, but it need not defeat us. It can propel us toward mastery, compassion, and meaning. When we lift others, we rise ourselves. His psychology is, at heart, a philosophy of courage, the courage to belong, to grow, and to turn weakness into strength.